I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I sit down with King Creoso. Kenny is a delight. It's quite a strange one, this, because Kenny's never used Zoom before. We get into the conversation straight away, actually, and I wasn't sure if he was recording or if he wasn't, but the Zoom call was recording, and so what you'll get at the beginning is maybe some Zoom audio for about 2 minutes before I realise that what we're talking about is really fascinating before we even get into the song pick. So I then press record on the audio recorder. So a couple of minutes in, you'll probably see a huge lift in the audio quality. And it's a delight. I mean, in regards to how Kenny lives his life, it's fascinating. It's a life that I think so many of us could probably benefit from, you know, taking a little bit from his lifestyle and his stance on technology and social media and stuff. It was quite an eye opener, the beginnings of this podcast, and then we get into the songs, and Kenny's song picks are remarkable, and there's some wonderful chat about talk in there. No spoilers there. And we go on and then get on to the new record, which just go and check out the recent sort of singles. It's just beautiful. And so, yeah, that's all to come in a second. But before we get on with the chat, just a few thank yous. I'd like to thank the team at the Blue Murder Club podcast because they produce this episode. They produce all the episodes. And I'd also like to thank my homeboy, Mr. Scroobius Pip, who is the guy that got us involved in podcasting many years ago, purely by coincidence, because for some reason he decided to let me on his legendary Distraction Pieces podcast, where we would get drunk and talk nonsense, and somehow it enabled me to kind of creep in the back door of podcasting unnoticed and develop these podcasts, one of which is Off the Beaten Track, which I'm so proud of now, and I'm so lucky that I get to have conversations like the one that you're about to hear. If it's your first time listening, hello. We're over 500 episodes in, so you've missed loads, and when you get to the end of today's chat with Kenny, then why not go and explore the back catalogue? Because there's hundreds and hundreds of ace chats with some fantastic musicians, some incredible actors, comedians, producers. I won't list them all because we'll be here forever, but go and have a rummage in the archives because there's so many episodes available, all for free. And the reason that they're for free is because I've got this little thing that kind of brings in a little bit of income with this podcast, and it's my Patreon. And I know that people are living in a cost of living crisis at the moment, and don't get me started on the Tories, but yeah, we are we sort of try and monetize the podcast, I say we, me, by doing this Patreon. And so over on Patreon, it costs a dollar a month, so that costs you about 75p at the moment to become a Patreon. And that just means that basically you support the podcast. But what I do as well is on Patreon, I give you lots of stuff. So you can watch all the episodes of Off the Beaten Track on there. If you like to do the video thing, you can watch all the chats. I put up lots of playlists and mixtapes. There's a huge archive of radio shows that I've done where I'm not going to explain a radio show. I think you know what they are, music and chat, yeah? And then there's also loads of episodes in the archives that have never been released. And that's all for 75p a month. And the other thing that I think is the real kind of good, the really good thing about supporting the podcast on Patreon is I do a monthly hangout, and it's a little live show, and it's done on Zoom, and you're all invited, and you can all come on, and we pick a little subject. We've just recorded one, which was cover versions, and everybody comes along, and one at a time, we all talk about our favourite cover versions, and I think, you know, we've done music videos, and we've also worked our way through the song questions that we do on the podcast as well. So we do them every month, and they're a really lovely little thing. Anyone that's heard this podcast before, you know, you've often heard me tell you about how much I love these monthly hangouts, because there's such a lovely little gang of people that have got involved in them, and it's not some snobby elitist I work in a record shop kind of high fidelity thing, which we talk about on today's episode as well, funnily enough. It's just a really lovely little chat between a load of people just talking about records that mean something to them. And so, yeah, you can get access to that. And like I said, all the other stuff, and watch all the episodes for 75p a month. And that's at Patreon, patreon.com/ Off the Beat and Track. And I'd really appreciate it if you can support that, because, there's no sponsors on this podcast. And so, that's the way that we sort of keep this podcast ticking over is the Patreon. So if you can get involved and support the podcast, I will love you forever. Other than that, just give us a like, love, share, or retweet on the socials, or just go full old school King Creosote and just tell your mate, if you haven't got a phone or if you haven't got any technology, just nudge your friend and say there's this podcast. But then again, if you've got no technology, I don't know where you can listen to it anyway. So scrap that idea. Anyway, look, I'm going to just get straight on with the podcast. But all of that stuff that I've mentioned, your one-stop shop is the website, which is offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Please enjoy today's episode of Off the Beat and Track Podcast with the delightful King Creosote. It's Off the Beat and Track Podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin. Okay, we are recording. Kenny, how are you today?
I'm very well, thanks. Your face has just gotten blanked out by a little box of tricks there.
I'm loving this. So for listeners...
It's because you said that it's being recorded.
Right, okay. This is fantastic because... bizarre. I mean, I find this quite bizarre, and I'm going to ask a little bit more about this. This is the first time you've used Zoom, Kenny.
Very first time.
I mean, that must have been a lonely lockdown, mate.
No, I avoided all of the nonsense and just got out and about.
Yeah.
I've avoided these digital applications, so I've never done social media. For a while I still have an email address, but for a while I had a BlackBerry that Derek here kind of urged me into, but that would be the late noughties.
Yeah.
And avoided a mobile phone number for a long time. And then by the time I realized that things had moved on quite as far as they had with technology, you know, I was still like on the digital sort of abacus, really. I was struggling with texts and the reply all getting me into lots of trouble, and so it was I just ducked out of it. So now I have no Wi-Fi, no mobile phone, I've never signed up for direct debits, so I don't do any online anything if I can avoid it, including this. So I've avoided it.
I think that's a world that we'd all like to live in. And I find it really daunting, the thought of trying to sort of to do that. But I guess that's the dream, right? If you can sort of live your life without any of that, it's going to be a far more calmer place, right?
Oh, way calmer. And when people, it's actually harder for other people because they have to have, they, you become, I've become the guy that people can't get a hold of last minute, and they can't change any sort of itineraries last minute. And there's no texting me to say, I'll just be another 10 minutes. So, because if they are another 10 minutes, I've gone.
Yeah.
So it actually, it slows life down quite a lot.
Yeah.
And it was remarkably easy because I live in a village just further along the East Nuke, and there's no mobile reception anyway. So a mobile phone was next to useless. I had to get rid of my broadband because it just broke, and BT refused to fix it. It was that simple. So, you know, after 6 months of paying for a service that is never going to work again,
yeah,
I was already used to not having any of that. And I'd, as the years have gone on, I refused to pay my band with bank transfers. I'm still a check and cash guy.
Yeah.
So there's many things that I dodged anyway. Never had a Apple Pay or anything like that, PayPal. Yeah. And then as far as websites go, one of my pals who actually lives here in Ely, he dealt with all the internet, you know, the updating of domain names and keeping everything on track. So I've just, he dealt with it. And then yeah. I just went, I'm not interested. And I don't know the side of life where people all get together in some sort of common knowledge that they all know what they all read on social media that week.
Yeah.
And so don't talk about it.
Yeah.
I assume that I do know what has all gone on.
Yeah.
So it can be quite a silent world because nobody talks anymore. They all just assume that everybody knows.
I think you're winning. I really do. I think you're winning. You're definitely getting it right, because I think we could all do with just coming off the gas a little bit
So the things you need to do is you need to get yourself a watch, because a lot of phone usage I found was just checking the time.
That's so true.
So if you get a watch and then you get one of these little notepads.
I remember them.
Yeah, they're A6, but they're the tiny ones. But they're roughly the size of a mobile phone. Or you could go back to smoking and put, but as long as there's the thing that you check every day that you leave the house, you go, yeah, wallet, keys, and that thing in that pocket.
Yeah.
And then I tell you, man, within 2 weeks, you don't miss your phone. It took 2 weeks. Right. And then I wasn't a huge phone user anyway. I used to leave it everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah.
Now I've got glasses to worry about. These aren't actually my glasses. These are just magnifiers because I'm losing them all the place. But
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, go for it. You should try it. It's great. It is good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, I find it like doing this sort of podcast, and this is completely sort of DIY and trying to sort of, you know, sort of monetize it in any way possible. And it's not a very easy thing to do. And I do sort of rely on getting the word out about it on social media. And I'm kind of sort of not chained to it, but it is free marketing, and when you haven't got money for a marketing budget, it's like, right, we've got to kind of use what's at the disposal. But I do find if I go on there to post about an episode, before you know it, I'm just scrolling through absolute shit, and it's not good for the head. It's really not.
And that's where the cost of it comes, because it's not free on your time.
Yeah.
It's not free on your mental health. It's not free on your stress levels. And, you know, I turned up here in Ely today wearing an actual tinfoil hat because I get terrible tinnitus.
No, he does.
And vertigo. And, and it's this last 10 days, I've basically had to build a little Faraday cage inside my hat. And it has aided my sleepless nights. It has taken a little bit of the edge off my anxieties. And my tinnitus has not gone, because it'll never go, but it's definitely calmed down. Now, a skeptic will say there's many other factors involved in that, and I'm sure there are. But I don't, as I say, I don't have Wi-Fi at home. And I do notice that if I'm ever trying to sleep in a place with Wi-Fi, well, I don't sleep as well.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And like allergies. So there's a few things that point to, well, it's EMF radiation, isn't it? So your 5G, your microwaves, your 5G, 6G, whatever else is going on. Things like tinnitus, vertigo, sleeplessness, an increase in allergies, they're all related. It's just my old radiation poisoning, really.
Yeah.
So I'll try anything. I'll try anything before I go to a doctor. And when I was at my chiropractor on Wednesday night, I thought he'd laugh me out of the shop, but no. He told me a story of a physics professor at St. Andrews Uni who built a Faraday cage around his smart meter at home, and his wife's health improved overnight.
Wow.
So they are. They know about it.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, isn't it just France have banned the iPhone 15 for its radiation?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they are.
Shit.
Health hazards.
Yeah.
One more picture, guys. And you need to crack on.
Right, let's do it. Okay.
Kenny, I'm going to ask you for track one to tell me the first the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
So it's by Talk Talk, and it's getting late in the evening.
I mean, let's talk about Talk Talk, because I mean they're from my neck of the woods. They're Essex boys, and I mean one of the things that I think kind of sometimes gets overlooked with Talk Talk is, you know, a phenomenal band, but I don't think enough emphasis ever gets put on just how unique Mark's voice was. Like, I don't think it sounds like anything else.
Yeah. Well, and the evolution of the band that still held that voice, it's not like his voice, as unique as it is, was ever out of place, whether they, with, you know, the electro sort of synth pop beginning right the way to this sort of avant-garde jazz influenced, you know. And as his records went on, he kind of sang less and less.
Yeah.
And yet his voice, you'd think it's somebody that's got a unique voice like that, you'd almost think it would be the opposite. That once he found his voice, because singers all merge from a younger trying to be a singer into somebody that's happy in their own vocal cords, if you like. That just takes time, and it takes confidence, and it takes not caring about what anybody thinks. And usually when that happens, vocalists tend to use their voice more. But he did it the other way around. He's famous for saying, you know, if you've got the choice of three notes and two, pick the two notes. But if it's two notes and one, pick the one note. And if it's one note or silence, go for silence. And he did that with his own vocals. And I think it's that the spirit, because I think most voices, it doesn't matter how good a voice, if you hear it too often, it becomes annoying.
Yeah.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And that's the curse of, like myself, who's done so many albums. People are annoyed by my voice. And I get it, because I am. But Mark Hollis was very, very, very shrewd, I think. And he realized that in order for that not to happen, and you concentrate more on each syllable because of that. And then you realize just how good a voice the man had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he did less with it. And I mean, on these later records, especially the solo Mark Hollis album, I mean, he's whispering through that.
Yeah.
And yet he could see him sing live. I mean, he's proper, like, he's almost got a bagpipe player's neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the effort he puts in. So he was able to belt it out with the best of them, and yet the control. So, yeah, I was a fan of the entire package, but having read the book by the engineer, is it Phil Brown, in which he talks about the last two Talk albums and then the solo Mark Hollis album. If you haven't read it, you should definitely read the, what Mark Hollis put that band through to achieve, you know, Laughing Stock and yeah, so. But yeah, that it's getting late in the evening. I got it as the B-side. First heard it as the B-side to Life's What You Make It.
Yeah.
And as an intro, it's utterly beguiling, and it gives you absolutely zero hint as to what is coming next. And even now I can play that track, and it still throws me. I'm like, oh, what's this again?
Yeah.
You know, a song that I've played I don't know how many times. I mean, if you'd asked for what was the best middle eight in a song, I would have picked It's Getting Late in the Evening as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I think it's a momentous piece of work, and yet it never went on any of the official albums.
Yeah.
And to throw it away as a B-side, it's like, wow. I mean, most bands would give everything to have It's Getting Late in the Evening as in song that, you know. Anyway, yeah, absolutely brilliant song.
Am I right in saying that you contributed a track to a Talk Talk tribute record?
Yes, I did. But I've always been in two minds about the covering songs. I mean, I do it live, but when you put it onto record, it's almost like you upset everybody. You upset the fans. How dare you think that you can, you know?
Do you think so?
Yeah, and these people are always the loudest to comment as well.
Yeah, but they're if you love it, you probably just enjoy it. But if you don't like it, then people generally complain, right? But they should shut up.
Yeah, like, people should remember that if you have nothing good to say, say nothing.
Completely, completely. But
and then there's your own, and then it's embarrassing if your own. Well, I've got very few fans and had at the time, but if they jump on it in a sort of, oh, now the song makes sense or some nonsense, it's like, oh God, this is cringe. So my best anecdote of that is when Malcolm Middleton covered one of my songs, and on the flip side, I covered one of his, and that 7-inch single lost us half of both our fans.
Yeah,
right. Oh, fantastic.
Derek's chatting.
Wait, you've got to finish at 10:50.
Oh, 10:50, right. Okay, let's do this. Next.
Okay, next track. I'm going to ask you for the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
So it's The Most Beautiful Girl by Charlie Rich. I was probably 3 or 4 years old. We were on a family holiday to Aviemore with neighbours. One of those neighbours being Mrs. Gibbs, who I was just besotted by, even at that age. And she looked like, you know, there's a very famous painting that through the 70s of a dark haired woman curled around a tree.
Yeah.
She looked like that, right? Like something out of an early Elvis Hawaiian kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we got to the chairlift and she was terrified of getting on the chairlift and was having histrionics, was crying, was, you know, my mum and dad were like, "It'll be all right." And the most beautiful girl came on the radio and the crying and the beautiful Mrs. Gibbs. And yeah, that was it. Boosh. that was me. The dream.
And if you had to sort of pinpoint what that emotion was, what was it?
Well, I suppose sympathy, caring, just the agony of loss, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay.
I just got it right there and then through that entire kind of scenario somehow. And I've never forgotten. And even when I hear the song now, it's, yeah, it's...
it's a beautiful, beautiful record. For track three, Kenny, I'm going to ask you to tell me about the song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
Yeah, Pink Floyd's The Wall. We don't need no education, but when I went to Coraimont High School in St Andrews, so this is like I went there at the end of 1979, autumn 1979, and then that track came out when I was in my first year. And when I was in my first year of high school, Grange Hill was very much one of the... Yeah, and I couldn't watch Grange Hill. I just found it too bleak. And when I went to high school, I realised that all high schools were that bleak. Now, I always thought Pink Floyd's The Wall was quite a bleak sounding song. I mean, I like it more now. In fact, I think it's excellent. But back then, the creepy kids choir and it just cemented the Dark Nights, this 60s monstrosity of a school. It was a big school. It was full of terrors. I was a wee guy. It just encapsulates the whole thing. The terror, the Dark Nights, what am I doing here? Life to start with the most beautiful girl and end up with The Wall, you know.
But the thing is as well...
Right by 10 years.
Yeah, and the thing is with The Wall as well, I mean, again, we're probably not too dissimilar in age. And seeing the video for The Wall on Top of the Pops as well was equally as harrowing. Just sort of seeing these people being put in a mincer and just being minced. It was like, oh, my God. Like,
it was really, really grim. And I loved, at the time, I was into all sorts of, I loved Blondie and I was into The Jam and, you know, and then this thing came along and it's like it almost... ruined the chart for a while.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? It just hung around. And I mean, I got used to turning the chart off at the top three. You know, I mean, in 82, I was championing Dexys the whole way, and it was great when they got to number one, but when they slipped from number one with Come On Eileen, I mean, I was gutted.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
But The Wall, it's not that, as I say, I love it now, but back then it just cemented the terror of going to high school.
So you didn't enjoy school?
I did not enjoy school. Moments of it, and I liked my group of pals, but and I was good at school as well. I was just too scared. I did ask awkward questions a lot. I've always done that, but not if I was. I've never put my hand up in class if I knew the answer. I never did. The terrors were. And now, Kenneth, you'll translate this Latin passage. Oh, you know. So I tried to keep my head low get through it.
Are you sort of, was that a response to, I guess, certainly, you know, from where I was growing up and going to school, it wasn't cool to be bright or inquisitive. You know, that wasn't what the cool kids wanted to be doing. Is that pretty much what it was for you?
Well, I got into a gang that, I'm not saying it was cool, but there was enough of us were competitive enough in that way. But I think it was just that I was never in any of the sports teams or anything. Yeah. Or I was just shy. I was immature, or certainly looked at, I always looked really young. I'm not tall. I don't have the stature to. I was a fast runner.
That's always ending.
But there must have been something about me, because I didn't get into that many scrapes. So I don't know if it was the gift of the gab under pressure, or if maybe I looked a bit crazier than I was, or something.
Yeah.
But most of the bullies left me alone, which was weird, because I was terrified of them all, terrified of everything, and certainly a few teachers. But I didn't try at all at school, and yet I just sailed through it. I found maths, physics, languages, geography. I found it all incredibly easy. And I had a very good short-term memory. So I was just, I'm straight A's all the way without even. And my mum and dad never pushed me to study. I was just left to it, meaning it was all last minute.
Yeah.
I was always 3 minutes late every morning. I don't know. It's not a blur, because I could remember lots of individual moments at school. None of them with me in the starring role, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I was a real bystander and a real.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool. Like, maybe that's how I never got picked on.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get through it with no fuss. If there had been a time traveling device, you know, if you'd step in here now, you will miss these years, I would have done it.
Did you have any idea what you wanted to do when you left school?
No, none at all. But I was steered towards electronics. Well, in my fifth year, I was given four choices. It was accountancy, law, medicine, or engineering. And I remember saying, but it must be more than that. I quite enjoy art. And they're like, no, with your grades, and we've looked at what, that's it. And I was like, oh, well, it has to be engineering. No, that was it. Off to Edinburgh I go. And it was through university I realized, not maybe what I wanted, well, I realized what I wanted to do with my life. I became a recording junkie.
Yeah.
From aged 18. That's all I did for 4 years at Edinburgh. Yeah. And my last minute kind of short-term memory really started to fail me as the years went through. And I kept trying to get out of uni only to, look, first year is just a revision of sixth year, it'll get better. End of second year. Look, just do one more year, you've got an ordinary. End of third year. Well, look how quickly that went, you know.
Yeah.
And so on. So I finished and I got a, whatever I got, 2-1 and something, handed it over to my mum and went off busking for 2 years around Europe. So you can imagine the shame of that. We're black affronted.
Kenny, I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me the first song you remember buying from a record shop, please.
Right, so it was the 12-inch single of Swan's Way's Soul Train. Now, when I was a baby, what age would I be when I got... Remember the little Plustron? They had a little television. They had a radio and a tape deck on the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember those?
You had one of them.
Yeah, yeah. I still got one.
Wow.
So I used to tape from the tube. I used to tape was primed.
Yeah.
And then I would just... It was on pause. And I always tried to edit out, you know, Jules Holland's voice or whomever. And, you know... Go. And if it was a song I wasn't into, I would just stop it, rewind, and try and get the next one.
Yeah.
And I think Swan's Way, when they came on and I just caught it, and I couldn't believe that a song like this in the 80s had arrived with this haunting cello and sort of drive. It was just a snare, a cello, and him singing, or so it seemed from their live act. And then, yeah, I wore that tape out listening to that song, and I recorded it at a time when I was too afraid to go into the local record shop.
Why was that?
The other guy was too cool, and I was fine.
Well, high fidelity type stuff.
Yeah, and well, in all shopping sprees, I can only buy the thing I want. Even now, I can't go shopping. I've got to know what I want, know who's got it, hang the price. I'm just going to walk in. I want that. I pay for it. I leave.
Yeah.
That's it. And so, yeah, the arse is out of my jeans, but I hate shopping for anything unless I know exactly the thing. The terror of having to try something on in the shop. No thanks.
I totally get what you're saying.
Even worse than that is having to go back and exchange something. I mean, it's mortifying. No, I would rather just walk around. I mean, I've torn trousers up rather than take them back. It's all bad, but I did that. So I couldn't face going into that shop unless I knew exactly what it was. And anyway, this tape had worn out. I was like, I absolutely just have to get this. Yeah. Now, of course, when I went in there and asked for, could you imagine, nervous, trying to ask for the 12-inch version of Swan's Way's Soul Train? Could you imagine that? It just came out like a stream of nine. But eventually, through tears and frustration, I think I wrote it down for the guy and he ordered it in, and then back I went straight in. Yeah. Money counter, don't want the change, grab the record, get out of there as fast as I could get. And I'm sure the guy was perfectly nice.
Yeah.
But it was full of guys that had headphones on and, you know, all spinning a bit of vinyl and asking really hip cat questions about some. And here's me like, oh, they're going to laugh at this. Swans me, you know, check out this little idiot, buy this rubbish, you know, all that. So so it was a while until I bought something else, put it that way. But that was my first.
So I mean, I know you don't like shopping, but you know, as the years had gone on, and did you ever kind of sort of enjoy the experience of literally just crate digging, I guess, and flicking through the records? And did that become something that you enjoyed, or was just the whole kind of high fidelity elitism of the guy behind the counter thing too much?
Now, through uni, I'd go to an HMV or whichever shop in Edinburgh, and I would just get the thing I wanted.
Yeah.
And I would go straight onto my Walkman. I always bought albums before I got on the stagecoach to Aberdeen, because my girlfriend was in Aberdeen at the time. And so that's how I first heard Spirit of Eden, from a cassette on a Walkman. And the only bit that made sense to me in Spirit of Eden in the first listen, because I'm still stuck in the Colour of Spring, you know, having played that. The only bit that really made sense was like track 4, start of side 2. And that came on just as I went over the Fourth Road Bridge, as it was. And when that choir comes in, you know, is it I Believe in You?
It is.
The choir came in, the stagecoach went over the hump of the Fourth Bridge. And it was almost a kind of epiphany of spiritual, it was everything. Euphoria, music will save everybody type thing. And so, and then the only time I really got into the sort of, really going, I was staying in a place called Mossley and recording Analog Catalog. So Mossley's tied died on to Manchester, one of the milling towns. And it's built on a steep hill. And I went down into the village and I found this second-hand emporium of everything. Like, it was this gigantic double warehouse of absolutely everything. And I just thought, I wonder if they've got records in here. Did they have records? They had, like, the 7-inch singles, the 12-inch singles. And I was just going through them all, hoovering up anything I could get from the 80s that I either had and lost, but it was mainly singles that I never bought in favor of buying the album when it came out. Do you remember that? You didn't have the money to buy singles then. So I, when I was at school, I was buying 12-inch singles and then I'd buy albums on cassette. 12-inch to get a different version of the song. But the 12-inch singles were great for giving you an idea as to where the band's head were actually at. You know, the songs that never made the grade, never got the flashy treatment. And that gave you a good gauge of where the album might land, I found. So when it came to me finding this treasure trove of 7-inch singles, I filled cases and cases of 7-inch singles. I bought hundreds of them. And they were all like 10 pence, 15 pence. This would be like in 2005, maybe. And that's probably the only time I've gone back and back and back again. And I was trying to find our friend's electric, Gary Newman. That was the one that eluded me for ages.
That's just a fantastic piece of pop music, that is.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And I finally got it, but I must have gone through hundreds of singles. And that kind of broke me into going to Groucho's in Dundee. I didn't mind hanging out there. But weirdly, I bought as many sort of secondhand hi-fi sets and stuff out of Groucho's than I did. I used to leave with a pile of 12-inch singles. But as I got older, I'm saying into my 40s at this point, I didn't care if anybody thought that a 12-inch single of Duran Duran was, you know, I didn't care.
Yeah.
And I needed to have that to complete. And I've just got hundreds of these things.
Wonderful.
I'm actually maybe going to do a DJ set tonight, just for like a half hour, in a place called Bread and Butter along in Anstruther. And I only ever DJ 80s.
Yeah.
I don't crossfade or anything, but I've got a real sense, a good sense of what song would follow, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Tempo-wise. And I guess, I haven't said it, I'm going to jinx it, but I get some really good kind of, wow, that just... Yeah. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Tell me the song that is your kind of sort of late night, early morning listen.
Yeah, so I wasn't. Yeah, when you said late nights, I was thinking about did you mean party banging tracks? But I've never really. Well, you could probably tell by the music I write, I'm not that kind of, not really into that so much. So I went for the early morning.
Yeah,
and I was thinking of all the. I mean, what could anything that's blissed out? But then I remember it's a few years back. I'm not a great sleeper, and I just I'm going to say it was December 2016 or something like that, and I just kind of came to hearing this track on the radio, and I hadn't heard it ever before that, could you believe? I don't listen to opera or I just had to get the name of it written down and just find it. And to find it, the only thing I could find was on one of these most relaxing, classical, ever type thing. And I looked at that, and I mean, there's always a lot of dross on these things. Well, I can't say it's dross because it's all above what I do, but yeah, stuff I'm not interested. But I bought it double set just to get Oh Mio Bambino Caro. I just thought, well, that's as good as any. In fact, it's probably better than most.
Yeah.
So it was going to be that. It was going to be that or Gretzky's Symphony Number 3. You know, something in that kind of lulling, hopeful, heartbreaking. It's a classical version of The Most Beautiful Girl, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
Yeah, do you not think?
No, I mean, no. Do you wait? You know, is that one of the things that you do in the morning? If you wake up, the first thing you do is put music on.
Oh, see, sorry, I misheard that.
Sorry.
No, actually. Last thing at night, I would probably to try and sleep.
Yeah.
But when I get up, no. Well, I'm going to say something now that I've been really anxious over the last sort of 3 years, and I've fallen down the wormhole of modular synths.
Oh dear.
And tape loops I've always been into. So I've seen me wake up at 3 a.m. in a right state, and I just go straight to the modular or start cutting up tape loops. And I've been using music to calm me down this last while.
To listen or to create?
To create and to just
soothe
the waves. So yes, I suppose I do put music on. But it's if I wake up in some kind of agitated way, I would do it. Whereas if I wake up normally, I just get up and out.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes without even taking the Weetabix.
Yeah.
Straight. I've always been like that, though. Even as a kid, I just got up and left.
Yeah.
I might as well get up and go out. I just go out.
Where?
Where? Well, I might go to the shop. I might just have to I have to just get out.
Yeah.
That's why today was the gift, because I was up really early, actually 6 o'clock, and I'm a big fan of Farming Simulator, so I was able to calm the waves without making too much noise today. But yeah, I'm just up now. Get up, get out.
Fantastic. I'd love to know your favourite song. From an artist from your home county, please.
So this is, Milton Balgoni, real name Pete Cura. And when my band came back from busking, this is the end of 1991, and we started to try and get local gigs. So we had a bluegrass band. And we were trying to get local gigs, and we very quickly ran into the sort of Fife music scene, or a sort of, you've got, you're going to have to stand on the shoulders of giants type, you know, here's the ones that came before. And so we heard about this band, Milton Balgoni and the Balgoni Boys, and it was Pete Cura. He was given, it was like a bet, could he put together a tour around the ex-mining towns of West Fife? So he accepted the challenge, and that tour was called Around the Bings in 80 Days. And his band was a three-piece, so it was Milton Balgoni, and they all had spoof names of places in Fife. So there is a place, Milton of Balgoni, right, in Fife. They had John F. Kennaway, and they had Gary Cooper, as in the town of Fife. And this song, Mary Marquess Kens My Feather, well, Mary Marquess used to be on the Grampian News, I think. She's like one of these Scottish kind of personalities back in the 70s when we had like three channels, or early 80s. And it's quite raucous. It's like, Mary Marquess Kens My Feather! Mary Marquess Kens My Feather! And it just makes me laugh. And I've never forgotten. And Pete Cura was a great beat poet. He died recently of cancer, just early 60s, a real tragedy. But and he ran a picture framing gallery in Cooper. And I was with Scooby-Doo Orchestra. I wanted a song as good as Mary Marquess Kens My Feather.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, look, this is your last track, Kenny. I'm going to ask you, please, to tell the listeners of this podcast about a song that you love, that you would like them to hear.
So my long-suffering girlfriend, HMS Jennifer, she's got a song. It's I think I mistitled it. It's not That Stain on My Skirt. I think it's That Stain on Your Skirt. So it's
sorry, I'm just closing mail to stop these pings.
Bing.
I've just been told that I can do that. I'm a Luddite as there well. So there you go. There's no more pings.
Did you get pings all the way through it? Yeah. Did you get them at your end?
I didn't know.
Oh, right. Okay, that's good. Let's see. Aye, That Stain on Your Skirt. So it's like a duet. So I'd sing, That Stain on Your Skirt. And then she'd go, and I can explain. I've just been at the dentist and I missed the train or whatever, right? So, and then it's got an amazing punchline. And the punchline is, and I'll say, and what about the smell of semen? And then she'll say, Kenny, you must be dreaming. It was that bottle of thick bleach I spilled when I was cleaning.
Semen and dreaming, what an amazing rhyme.
It's Shakespearean.
It's good, isn't it?
It's a Shakespearean.
So there is a live version of Jen and I singing That Stain on Your Skirt from years back. And you can find it. It was a guy, Pete Rabjohns, filmed it. We just sang it at his house and he put it up. And it's had about 13 views. So I don't think any of the 13 are maybe regular listeners of yours. but as a very funny sort of pastiche of a country song,
yeah,
it's an absolute gem. It's only two verses. It'll not take up much of your time. And each, you know, that straw in your hair, you know, yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, look, we spoke about lots of other people's music before we wrap this up, because I know you've got another interview coming up shortly. Tell me about what's going on with your music.
So we've got over the last 3 years, we've got a record finished, yay, called Days, and it comes out in November, start of November. I think we've released three tracks already. We managed to get a sort of double A-sided single together at the end of 2020. it just took that long. I refused to go into studios with all the cleaning and the one at a time, and it's not for me. So it's my keyboard player, Derek, that did it all in his home studio. But he's an engineer at Chem19, so we got to use Chem19 for live drums and that sort of thing. And it's very much a lot of the records started on my home recording machines. So all the songs were written after 2016, but before the cataclysm of 2020.
Yeah.
Couple that, you know, that I've written in 2020 that I've stayed well clear of my personal views on. So we got that done, and it's out in November. It's only 9 songs, but there's a drone comes with it that's about 40 minutes long, the drone.
Yeah.
Drone in B-sharp. So it's effectively a double, but only because there's a drone of 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But as I say, that's all largely been done by my keyboard player, Derek, since 2020 when we started on it. The work I did on that record was all done pre-2020, you know, from home.
Yeah.
I since went back in and, you know, did accordion solos or did vocals. Not all. Some of the vocals stayed from back in the day. And then at home, I'm still recording furiously. It's like modular synths all the way, tape loops. My lyrics have gotten very kind of political, shall I say. A lot of dissent in there, which doesn't really fit the King Creosote mold. I feel King Creosote's more of a kind of looking inward and not so much pointing the finger, so I'm not sure where it's going to go next, but to avoid any, you know, censorship and all that, and Big Brother and the cancel culture, I've largely been making instrumentals. And if I use my voice, it's as an effect. So that's kind of where my head's at. But it's kind of weird to step back into the pre-2020 world and hear this record's all pre-2020. But a lot of the themes are still relevant, because a lot of the songs were written in the lead up to my 50th and in the aftermath of. So a lot of the songs are very much about looking back and try to get my head around dying. And one of the songs, Blue Marble, The Elm Trees, when I turned 50, I was actually going to kill off King Creosote altogether. That was one of the ideas, just put a stop to it and do something else. Yeah. And you know, with each album you do, there seems to be greater and greater expectations, and it's not often I find I can meet those expectations. So that was one of my plans. I would just put an end to King Creasel and have a last hurrah, revisit my back catalogue. And then, what happened? We got live gigs to do from Scotland with Love, which is an older project. And then I just missed the 2018, the sort of recording every 2 years. I just missed that window. And so it just got pushed forward.
Yeah.
The songs are all pre-2020, apart from two. And I've been very careful about what I've said in those songs. And I think it will chime with now, because there's a lot of people just wanting to etch out the last 3 years. But it's been such an anxious time for me that I can't just etch it out. It's like a lot of bad things went on and are still going on. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
But a lot of the songs are about mortality. Mortality as well.
As Derek says, a lot of the songs are about my mortality and my...
And you're very funny about it as well.
And, yeah, just kind of trying to... And within the record, I'm actually trying to recap various styles that are... Yeah. So a lot of the tailouts of songs will mirror the sort of John Hopkins era. My fascination with tape loops and samples that are off kilter, they're all in there. The band that played on it, they all did that in the sort of 2020, 2021, everyone's stuck at home kind of mode. So they all played basically down the email wires, however that works. Leave that to Derek. And it was a lot of the parts played by the band ended up in different places or got looped or got cut up. And, you know, so it's a real produced record, I would say, which is different from the ones that came before that were more like band performance type. So that's, I think, where it differs. But, you know, to be humble about it, I only write in so many different styles, and I do rely on a sort of a production element. So if you think back to like Casey Rules OK, that was the early's influence. And then there's John Hopkins. And then I did a record with Paul Savage at Chem19. It was very sort of 80s electro. That never really came out. But so I kind of rely on somebody taking the same old that I produce and giving it, you know, because in my imagination, my songs go everywhere.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, right, we're recording, I just fall back to, oh, I'll just use the two chords and, you know, falsetto it. I'm not giving away all my tricks. I'm not. It does sound like a King Creasel record. Of course it does, because my voice is my voice and styles a song that I write, that's it. But in terms of its sort of sound palette, it goes quite far, I think. There's a lot of synth work. As I say, there's a couple of songs that have got the modular synth racket through it, that evolving, is it in, is it out, is it, you know. And I'm really happy with it. I'm delighted with it. I could always sing better on these records. But there's one song called Ide. It's a sort of piano co-write with Derek, or Dez, as we call him, Dez Lawson. It's a co-write with him, and I don't think I've sung... If I have sung better on a record, I can't name the song. I actually nailed it. And it's a hard song to sing. It goes into falsetto, it comes back down. It kind of does all these things that I think on a good day I can do. And more often than not, when I'm in a studio, I'm just not on the best day. But this time around, I was on the best day.
Fantastic. Kenny, I can't wait to hear the record. I wish you all the success with it, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, and for making it your first venture into the world of Zoom. I feel very privileged that it was to have this conversation.
My Zoom cherry has been bought.
And I'm aware you've got another interview right now, so I will love you and leave you, and thank you once again for your time today, mate. It's been really, really lovely. Thank you.
Feel free to edit into that, please, and take out what you like.
It was fine, mate. It was fine. Lovely to meet you both. Thank you so much.
Thanks, bye-bye. Mate. Cheers.
There you go. What a delightful chat that was. Oh, what a top lad. And yeah, just great. I mean, when he starts saying about the sort of choice to completely rule technology out of your life in regards to sort of socials and phones and things like that, I was just kind of open mouth, just thinking this is just a perfect way to kind of just dial it all back a little bit. But unfortunately, I just think we're in too deep now, right? Anyway, go check out King Chris. That's music if you haven't done so already. I'm off to check out the duet on YouTube. And thanks ever so much for listening. Go explore the back catalogue of this podcast. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes. If you like your Scottish music, then I have interviewed a whole world of incredible Scottish musical talent. And they're all there in the archives. And if you just like good music, good comedy, good production, good acting, then go and check out the guests in the archive of this podcast. Everything you need to know about this podcast, you can find out at your one-stop shop, which is offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. I'm back next time. In the meantime, be nice to each other. Thanks again for listening. Bye-bye.